Our next NHL on ESPN matchup has the Flyers in Boston to take on the Bruins. And our featured ESPN Plus matchup of the night is a battle between the Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes. Coverage of both starts at 7 Eastern. They're also available on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Meanwhile, on planet Earth is brought to you today by Whole Foods, and it's Bill Belichick wearing a Danger Zone sweatshirt to his press conference and sparking a bunch of Top Gun jokes, including Julian Edelman tweeting, "Talk to me, Goose." Danger Zone apparently was the nickname that Joe Cardona, the long snapper, gave to the Patriots' 2019 special teams units. So what are you thinking?
That's a fitting person to do it, right? He's in the Navy.
Yeah. Is he? Is Belichick a secret Top Gun fan? Like, what do we think about
Belichick? Well, I think he's speaking to that often forgotten portion of the game that's going to be pivotal and big this week. You know, you talk about windy, cold balls, muff kicks, punts. Bill speaking to that third of the defense or the third of the football team that doesn't get spoken to.
So you think the sweatshirt's a coaching technique?
Yeah, it's a coaching technique. He's speaking to the special team because that's the point of emphasis.
Unturned. Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And we turn the hour to 9 o'clock Eastern as we get up with Micah Parsons and his message to the San Francisco 49ers. Will he and the Cowboys defense be able to stop San Francisco's bully ball run game? Plus, Coldplay in bitter Buffalo. Can Bill Belichick and his sweatshirt and his team freeze out Josh Allen and the Bills in round 3? And steel pity in the Steel City. Do the Steelers have any chance against the Chiefs? Wait till you hear what Big Ben has to say about that. Start you off then with our game of the night. It's from the NBA, the Nets and the Bulls. Kyrie Irving playing in his third game this season for the Nets, taking on Zach LaVine and the Eastern Conference leading Bulls. Second quarter, Chicago down by 8. LaVine drives the baseline and slams it down. Take another look. He double clutched in midair. Bulls were down 2 at halftime. But then it got ugly for them. To the third, Nets up 1. James Harden finds Kevin Durant in the corner. He hits the 3 and puts the Nets up by 4. Later on, the Nets are still up by 4, and Harden pulls up over DeMar DeRozan, hits the 3-pointer. DeRozan displeased. He's ripping a towel on the bench. Nets are up 7. A minute 45 to go in the third, and they're pulling away. Durant pulls up, drains the 3 from the wing. He had 27 points and 9 assists. Later in the third, Nets up 20. Kyrie Irving drives, making the tough shot. Nets would outscore the Bulls by 20 points in the third quarter and lead by 22 heading into the fourth. So now we're in the fourth and the Nets are up big and Zach LaVine turns it over and Harden's going the other way. Behind the back to Blake Griffin. Nets are having a good time. Later in the fourth, they're up by 25. Another funky Harden pass between the legs to De'Ron Sharp for the lay-in. Harden just putting on a show there in the fourth as the Nets win 138-112 and improve to 13-3 in the last two seasons when Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden all play together. That's a great record. It's not a huge number of games. To the NFL, we have 6 highly anticipated playoff matchups this weekend, but the most anticipated of all may well be the 49ers against the Cowboys. Niners like to run the ball and beat you up physically. Some people call it bully ball, but if you ask Cowboys rookie linebacker Micah Parsons, he doesn't sound too worried.
I'm from Harrisburg, where the bullies get bullied, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, there's a bully in every gym. There's a bully everywhere you go. I, as a kid, stopped to run and then let the monsters eat on third down. We got to win the first and second down.
Bart, your thoughts?
Hey, man, don't write a check that your teammates can't cash, right? Because, yeah, you may be ready for bully ball, but don't be speaking for all the other people. They may not want all that smoke. You know, listen, this young kid got a lot of bravado, right? You know, he's lived up to expectations. He's exceeded expectations. But he's going against something that I don't think he's ever faced. And unless you're going against prime Gronkowski, you don't know what this guy is. And listen, Kittles is a beast. He is a guy that enjoys. I've never seen a guy that enjoys blocking just as much he loves as catching the football. And this is a guy that has done it against defensive ends, linebackers. And listen, this is the matchup to watch. Because when they go into their big boy set with 2 tight ends and extra linemen, you know, they're going to have to sink Parsons down to the edge, and he's going to have an opportunity to show if he's a goon and what's a goon to a goblin. And like I told you earlier, what's a god to a non-believer? And right now, Michael Parsons is not a believer in bully ball because he says he bullies the bullies. That remains to be seen, and I can't wait to watch because I don't know which way this is going to go. The guy has exceeded expectations, and he's proven me wrong before.
Yeah, you know who has the highest PFF grade at any position in the NFL right now? It's Trent Williams, right? He has had a spectacular season. But putting that aside, for the Cowboys, it's going to be about their tackling. Anytime they have struggled against any offense this year, specifically the Denver Broncos, they had 15 missed tackles. That's where they were exposed. So you talk about the bully ball, the physicality of this. If they aren't physical, they're not going to win. It's as simple as that.
Real quick, though, Trent Williams missed last week's game. He had an injury. Mm-hmm. What's his status for this week?
So he says he's ready to go. He's going to play. He's going to have his sore elbow in a brace, and he's really relying on the adrenaline, he said, to really get him through this, but he's expected to go.
Obviously, he's going to be a big key for the 49ers. Lewis Riddick, what's the key to this game as you see it?
Yeah, it's very similar to what everyone is talking about. So, but I think when you just put it on Dallas, it's about setting the edge and resetting the line of scrimmage. If you don't set the edge and it gets strung out and you get knocked off the football and San Francisco then can get their running backs getting downhill and getting north and south even quicker, it's over, man. It's over because you're not going to get the third down. You're not going to get to rush the passer. You're not going to get to the point where then you can line up in all those walk-around type of fronts where DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory and Micah Parsons are moving around and having fun and whooping up the crowd and getting after Jimmy Garoppolo, because you're never going to be there. So I'll tell you this. He said, we have to take care of first and second down. And there's no doubt about that, because that's where San Francisco wants to keep you. And Bart's right. George Kittle is a bad dude, man, on the edge. Trent Williams is a bad dude. Kyle Juszczyk, look, Elijah Mitchell, these guys run, they play with a mentality that is very much so intrinsic, meaning you don't have to ask them to be that way. That's just who they are. And then Kyle taps into that. They feed into it. And then the defense plays that way too on the defensive line. And this is just the identity of this team, man. And Dallas is going to have to match it. They have to match it in order to win.
D. Wood, I feel like that's the way we used to talk about the Cowboys on offense, right? Like win first and second down, dominate physically. Are they less that now? Do you actually favor the Niners if this is a physical game like everybody seems to think it will be?
Well, I mean, Dallas has been inconsistent, for the better part of the second half of the season. You know, when they were on that six-game winning streak, early on in the season, yeah, we were talking about Dallas in that same light, but listen, when you talk about the San Francisco 49ers, the level of physicality that they bring on, not only offensively, on both sides of the ball. Remember, they got Eric Armstead and Nick Bosa. Those guys are coming downhill and coming at you. And so, you know, when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys defense, the one thing that pops out on tape when you watch them is the speed at which they play. Let me tell you what nullifies speed. Power. Coming downhill, physicality. And that's why everyone keeps talking about the San Francisco 49ers, particularly on offense, is because can the Dallas Cowboys defensively match the type of power and physicality that the 49ers are going to come in their rushing game? Because if they can't do that, they won't have opportunities to go and rush the passer, because they'll be constantly in second and five, third and one, and that's when the offense dictates all the terms in those scenarios.
These are two teams that haven't faced each other yet this year. Only game this weekend where that is the case. It's certainly not the case in Buffalo, where the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills are meeting for the third time this year. You will remember the Monday night game in Week 13. Patriots won 14-10 on a cold and windy night. Patriots quarterback Mac Jones threw the ball three times in that game, just three times. Fewest pass attempts by a team in a game since 1974. But 3 weeks later, the Bills went to Foxborough and took down the Patriots on the road. Josh Allen with the big game, more than 300 passing yards, and he had three touchdowns in the win. This will be the second time these two teams have met each other in the playoffs. The nighttime low temperature at Highmark Stadium is forecast to be 0 degrees. What do you think about that danger zone?
We practiced, in just about everything we could. Any type of conditions we could have, so, and played in, quite a few as well. So, There's no way to turn the temperature down or up or anything else. It is what it is out there, and I have a lot of confidence in our players, and I'm more worried about the Bills than the weather. I think that the Bills are what we have to focus on, and that's who we have to beat. The weather is the weather.
Weather is, in fact, the weather. Truer words never spoken. Diana, you are covering this game for us on Saturday night. You have your extra warm coat ready to go?
Yeah, my mom was actually texting me during the show, said, I think you better go back to the store and get some more layers, because what they're predicting here sounds awful. But my attitude is like, let's go. You might as well. This is going to be one of the best games, I think, really, of the year. And, you know, I spoke to Josh Allen over the phone about how he's going to handle the cold weathers, because here's the issue with Josh Allen. Over the last 15 years, he's the second worst completion percentage in the NFL in freezing temps. The guy hates the cold. He doesn't play well. And he says the reason is because he's got bad circulation, so his toes get cold. And as you know, with your feet.
Can I get you a suggestion for him?
You want me
Josh Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I don't really have a response to that. But you played, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean
a lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets the circulation to the feet.
Okay.
These statements have not been evaluated by
the You have a good bag.
I was going to go Buffalo, like just go wings extra hot, but you know, you seem to have a better suggestion.
What were we talking about?
I don't think he's going to necessarily be taking Viagra from what I could tell through the conversation. He didn't share that with me. But he did say he's going to be standing next to heaters when the defense is out to keep those toes.
He'll be hot.
Either way, you know the Patriots are going to try to take advantage of the fact that he doesn't have success in the cold.
Louis Riddick, can you get us back to something like reality here? What impact does the cold have on a game like this?
Yeah, man. Let me recalibrate here.
Yeah, we're all a little thrown off.
Yeah, look, it leveled. Look, I mean, cold weather, sub-zero weather, I mean, it levels the playing field for a number of different reasons. One, because everyone doesn't react the same in cold weather. There's no doubt about that. We know that hits hurt a little bit more. The ball gets slick. When the field gets frozen like this, it's advantage offense for sure, because defensively, you're always in reactionary mode. Offense knows where they're going. It's harder to come off the line of scrimmage as a defender and hold the point of attack. That's why running games work really well in this kind of weather, provided you can stay on your feet, as you saw in the first game when it was nasty like this and New England ran the ball all over the place. So I think this really becomes, from a Josh Allen perspective, though, and I know D. Wood's going to talk about this, it's going to become more about his legs even more so than his arms, because when he is a dual threat, when he is a dual threat quarterback, he's all the more dangerous. And that's exactly what he wasn't in the first matchup that we had on Monday night up there when it was just absolutely miserable. Didn't run the ball enough, was still trying to throw it. So Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, has to make sure he incorporates the running aspect of his game into this game, because it will definitely pay dividends given what the weather's going to be.
Yeah, Lou, Josh actually shared that with me as well. It's going to be about how that Patriots team is going to defend the run game, because they've done a much better job on the ground over the last few weeks. I think earlier in the season we were on the show talking about, Dable, where's the run game here? You need to present this here to help this team out. It's gotten better, and Josh says he feels really confident in that. But that being said, cold weather sometimes puts a little fear in quarterbacks to air it out. He says they're not going to change anything. They're going to do exactly what they always do. Cold weather cannot change the passing game for them.
D. Wood, how high is your confidence in the Patriots' ability to contain Josh Allen in the cold weather?
I mean, I think it's going to be a tall task. Like, you know, even though it's going to be cold, it's not going to be the conditions like the first game in Buffalo where the wind was outrageous. That's really the difference. When the wind is like that, as a defense, you know that the passing game is going to be severely limited. Yes, it's going to be cold, but it's not going to prevent Josh Allen and that arm of his to be able to throw the ball. So that's actually going to play in Josh Allen's favor, because he'll be able to scramble outside the pocket. That's going to be the big key. Can the Patriots corral him and keep him contained from scrambling outside the pocket, where he just makes massive plays both with his arm and his legs?
We don't know if Josh Allen is watching the show. We do know Diana's mother is, and we certainly apologize to her for the turn that our Patriots-Bills conversation took. Coming up, our Get Up, he's been to five NFC Championship games, but only one Super Bowl. Does Aaron Rodgers need another ring to secure his legacy? And is this truly rock bottom for the New York Giants? How can they fix the biggest mess in the sport? We'll talk about it next, but first, sneaky himbo time. This one is for Bart Scott. Which quarterback, Bart, has made the most starts on wild card weekend? Bart's going to take the break to think that over, and we will be back. All right, we're back on Get Up, and Bart Scott is wrestling with this sneaky Hembo trivia question. Which quarterback has made the most starts on wild card weekend?
I feel like Hembo's be trolling me because
he will do that.
It's like 6 degrees of separation. I know you have a tremendous winning record against him, but I'm going to go with one of my former teammates because I know that the team has success, and we didn't always win a division. So I'm going to go with Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is a good guess. It is not correct, however. The correct answer is Brett Favre.
Brett Favre?
Eight times.
I forgot he played a million years.
That's one more than Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning. Does that mean Roethlisberger will tie him this week, or is that seven count, Roethlisberger? We'll get a Hembo on that, and we'll find out what the answer is. Meantime, Damian Woody would like to join us for, yes, this is the wood-based pun that we talk about with Damian Woody sometimes. We asked him to wear this hat, but he said he couldn't find it. Fire Wood is the segment, and Damian Woody is going to tell us what he is fired up about today. What is it, D. Wood?
Yeah, just the firing of Brian Flores. I mean, this caught a lot of people off guard, no question. The strangest firing of the, you know, kind of the Black Monday scenario in the National Football League. And when you look at Brian Flores and what he was able to accomplish in his three-year tenure with the Miami Dolphins, coming from a complete rebuild to having back-to-back winning seasons, okay? Back-to-back winning seasons. This is a team that battled back this past season from 1-7 to finishing with a winning record. And this is also the same man who finished 4-2 against the great Bill Belichick in his own division. The last time the Miami Dolphins had back-to-back winning seasons was all the way back in 2002-2003. That is just crazy to me.
Yeah, Flores 19-14 over his last two seasons in Miami. We'll see if he gets interest from other teams as this coaching cycle unfolds. By contrast to Brian Flores, another former Bill Belichick assistant, Joe Judge, was 10-23 in the last 2 years as the Giants head coach. He was fired on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, team owner John Mara gave what has become an annual press conference on how disappointed he is with the state of his team.
Is this as embarrassed as you've been about the franchise?
Honestly, I would have to say yes. Yes, it is. I kept thinking during the season that we had hit rock bottom, and then each week it got a little worse. So we haven't necessarily made the right choices. Looking back on our process, I wish it had been a little more extensive, that we had seen more people and maybe taken our time a little bit more with it. And we're going to try not to make that mistake this time.
Giants looking for a new head coach and a new general manager. It seems like they're resetting all the time there now. Lewis, what's the most important thing for them to be thinking about as they embark upon yet another coaching search?
Well, first, Dan, it's about philosophical alignment. And I know that that phrase is thrown out there a lot, but it's the truth between whoever ultimately is the general manager and who that head coach is. And that is everything from how you scout players, how you evaluate players, how you then value them, how you go about getting them, what kind of prices you pay for the different positions, and then when do you go after them, whether it be in free agency, in the draft, how do you negotiate the draft process, moving up and down the draft board, and then how do you then develop them once you get them in-house, and how do you implement them? Those are all the things that you have to have answers for when ultimately this process is over, and make sure that these guys It's like running a three-legged race, you know, at field day back during, you know, elementary school. You guys have to be in lockstep, because if one person isn't, you know, it all comes tumbling down, and they're all too familiar with that. So they have to make sure that those two individuals are absolutely on the same page in those three phases that I just mentioned.
Yeah, all the hirings and firings they've done the last few years, they've really never had a situation where they were hiring a GM and a coach at the same time. So maybe that's part of the calculus there. They got to get them aligned on the same page from the get-go. Bart, what's the biggest thing they have to do to fix this mess in New York?
Well, I think they need a seasoned vet, because New York is a different market unlike any other. You got to be somebody that has some skin in the game, that's been in this game a while. This isn't for the faint of hearts, because, you know, you have to answer to the media, right? And you're going to be talked about no matter how good you are. And what happens is, when you look at Mara and his comments, he said, we become a joke. And when you do things like have the 11-minute press conference, and then you do things like this, when you run a quarterback sneak, you know, in your own territory in a wing T formation, you see that's more of an embarrassment. You can be bad in New York. You can't be embarrassing. And I think this is a heritage franchise. This is one of the proud franchises with a tremendous tradition. 4 Super Bowls. There's only a couple of organizations that can say that. They have to get somebody that's been there, that had success, that can walk into that locker room with instant credibility, because that locker room is full with veterans. You can't fool them. You have to be authentically yourself. You can't be somebody else. You have to be true to who you are.
Yeah, I think authenticity in life is probably one of the best characteristics you can have as a leader. And I think the Giants need to really just take a look at their history and perhaps not go with that comfortable space of where they had success in their history. Those days are over. It's been a really long time since the New York Giants were making headlines because of their success. And while the search is on, and it sounds like they are trying to go outside of what their comfort zone is, which is going with GMs right now, or at least candidates that don't have a connection to the New York Giants, I think in the end for this, the owners really need to believe in the GM and head coach they hire and let them make the decisions. And only them, because I think in the past we've seen anytime ownership gets involved, it's usually not a good thing. Not everybody can be Jerry Jones.
Yeah, it's interesting that they are interviewing outside candidates. The last time a Giants GM was hired that hadn't worked for the team before was 1979. George Young. It's been that long since they went outside the family for that position. So maybe times are changing. We come back, we're going to talk about the playoffs again and a steel pity party in the Steel City. Wait till you hear what Big Ben is saying about the Steelers' chances of upsetting the Chiefs. Plus, Matthew Stafford has never won a playoff game. Is this the year that changes, and should we trust him to lead the Rams to the Super Bowl? Back on Get Up, and we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, who made it into the postseason when Daniel Carlson's kick went through the uprights and the Raiders and Chargers didn't tie. As a reward for making the postseason, they're going to get to play the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. No surprise, the Chiefs, a 12.5-point favorite there on Sunday, according to Caesars. Our football power index gives Kansas City a 76% chance to win the game, which is actually less of a chance than it sounds like Ben Roethlisberger is giving Kansas City to win the game. Listen to what he had to say.
I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. Probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance. So let's just go in and play and have fun.
Not exactly can't wait. What do you think about what Big Ben's doing?
Listen, if you get beat the way you got beat in the first matchup, you're supposed to have some humble pie. But listen, let's not mistake that with them not having a quiet confidence that, you know, any given Sunday, any team can win in the NFL. You know, you talk about Ben Roethlisberger. He's been there. He's done it all. He's been the number one seed and got knocked off the top of the mountaintop. You know, so he understands, yeah, it's going to be a tough task, but it's not insurmountable. Like, in football, it's one of the only sports. It's not basketball where the best team eventually wins because it's a series. All you have to do is be the better team that day. And things happen weird on football fields, especially in the playoffs. You know, balls bounce funny. You know, guys have fumbles. Guys stand on their head and have great, you know, games and turn over the ball. T.J. Watt's going to have to be a menace. Minkah Fitzpatrick, everybody's going to have to be on a string. They have to limit the big plays and hope that they're in it late in the game with opportunity to win. That's all you can ask for in a certain situation.
Yeah, these two teams played 3 weeks ago, and the Steelers really weren't in it. It was 36-10
that
Kansas City. Pittsburgh looking anything but a playoff team. So, Lewis, how do they pull this off?
Yeah, they got to pull out all the stops, Dan. I mean, they got to be very, very aggressive, meaning in all the ways that you would expect aggressiveness to show up in a game like this. Meaning this, you know, when they're in that area between, you know, minus 40 to, you know, on forward, fourth down, fourth and short has to be an area where that's a go type of situation. You have to definitely take your shots. You have to have some trick plays in your bag. Some kind of reverses, some kind of double passes. You have to have some things that are unscouted for the Kansas City's defense. On the defensive side of the ball, Bart already alluded to it. You have to be willing to tackle the football, go after the football, try to get extra possessions for your offense. And then on special teams, look, whether it be a surprise onside kick, maybe coming out after the half, you have to go after punt blocks. Maybe not necessarily focus on the return game, but focus on putting pressure on Kansas City at every turn. Because honestly, what do you have to lose when you are this kind of underdog? And you know that 1 through 53, they have some advantages on you. You have to be ultra aggressive. You can't let Kansas City jump out to a 30-0 lead like they did midway through the third quarter the last time. Otherwise, it's going to be over. So for Ben, what he's saying is, look, we have nothing to be tight about. Let's just go play.
Yeah, fair enough. D. Wood, what Lewis is saying about what the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do on offense sounds a lot more interesting than anything they've done on offense all year. What do you think the key is for them pulling off this upset?
Well, they have to do things to kind of – they got to gain possessions. And when they have the ball, they got to do things to extend drives. And ultimately what Lewis is saying, ultimately be aggressive. You know, fourth downs, take chances, special teams, you know, run, you know, fake punt. You know, they have to do things. They have to manufacture plays that will ultimately give them a shot to win games, because just going blow for blow with the Kansas City Chiefs is not going to cut it. Kansas City Chiefs are a better football team. So they have to, like I said, they have to manufacture plays to try to even the playing field against the Kansas City Chiefs.
These are those opportunities when you're a leader on this team and you say, hey, we have some disadvantages on the offensive, defensive side. If I'm T.J. Watt, I'm saying, hey, coach, you need me on the punt block team? You know, you need me here? You overextend yourself because you're saving nothing. So you don't have to worry about, you know, how many snaps you're playing. You say, okay, listen, you volunteer. And you need me on punt return? You know, because a lot of guys that are starters started off in this league on special teams. Because when you become a starter, a lot of times you get moved off those special teams. These are when you volunteer to help out. Every man, every willing body has to step up and see where can we gain advantage. And special teams is one of those areas.
You know, Steelers haven't won a playoff game in 5 years. Good news, however, maybe the last time they did it, they were in Kansas City. Let's play either or playoff edition. Bart, Scott, who are you taking, Jimmy Garoppolo or Dak Prescott?
Well, I have to go with the proven commodity. I have to go with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is a guy, this is the reason why he's going to show us, you know, why they gave him the money. He has to step up. He has more pressure on him than I believe any other quarterback in his league, not named Matthew Stafford.
Damian Woody, I'm going to Cincinnati to cover a really cool matchup between Derek Carr and Joe Burrow. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, I love this quarterback matchup, but I'm going to go with Joe Burrow. Again, the way that the Cincinnati Bengals on offense finished the season, I mean, they were just utterly unstoppable. And Joe Burrow is Joe Cool to me. Just the confidence that he's instilled with this offense, man, they're going to be a fun group to watch.
Monday night playoff game this week is Rams, Cardinals. Lewis, I know you'll be there. Who do you like, Kyler Murray or Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I love them both, but I'm going to go with Kyler because of the fact that he has that added dimension of being able to run the football and create. And he's going to need to do that. He's going to need to hit the big plays down the field. He's going to have to be on point, start fast, navigate the pocket, stay away from Aaron Donald, Von Miller. But also, he's going to have to run the football some too. He's going to have to make sure he gets outside this pocket and picks up first downs when necessary. And I think that gives him advantage over Stafford, although he is as wonderful a passer as you will see when he's on.
Really interesting matchup for us on ESPN, ABC, on Monday night. Very exciting game. A rematch of two games, the NFC West games. They played each other twice this year and split them. We like to use the word trust when we make predictions around here, right? Yeah. Because it twists it a little bit, right? It's not just who you think will play better. Who do you trust to play better, Kyler Murray or Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I'm with Lou there. I've lost a little trust in Matthew Stafford because, you know, as Lou pointed to, when Stafford's on, he's fantastic. It makes sense why the Rams did everything they could to mortgage a future to get him in there. The Matthew Stafford we saw in September was lights out. Unfortunately, we've seen him turn the ball over a lot. And I think with Kyler Murray, he brings a dynamic to the game because if for whatever reason the passing game isn't on for him, he's got that option of his legs and he's healthy. I think everything is going in favor of Kyler Murray at this point in the season. And, you know, we talk about trust, we talk about pressure. I think for both these quarterbacks, the pressure is on Matthew Stafford here to come out here and win. Can you guys imagine if the Rams were one and done after everything they did and gave up to get Stafford on top of the other things that they did to make this roster work? You know, this could be a gigantic storyline in the offseason if they don't get it done.
Absolutely. Which one of these guys do you trust more?
Well, listen, a broken clock is right twice a day. And listen, Matthew Stafford's been broken, but it's about time for that clock to be right. I mean, he understands that he's playing for his legacy. This is a guy that was given every excuse because of the organization which he played in. So now you talk about a proud player, a great player, and he's going to, I think, step up and answer the bell because he has to, because of all the things that Diana said, right? They gave up, you know, golf. They were in the postseason last year with Warford. Some kid named Warford, right? Yep. And then Goff had to play in Green Bay. You know, and if they, you know, fall short of that, then it makes everything that he stands for, you know, null and void and saying, hey, he is a loser. It wasn't just the organization. He was part of it.
But you trust him
Kyler? I'm going to have to trust him because I trust greatness. And greatness steps up when it has to be great. And when you have your pride on the line and when you have your legacy on the line, you step up, you know, you answer the bell.
Dee Wood, settle this. We got a tie. Diana says Kyler. Bart says Stafford. Who do you trust more?
Man, I'm going to have to go with Kyler. I just think that, you know, Kyler with his natural ability, he can beat you more than one way. And I know that, you know, with Matthew Stafford, I understand the pressure that he's under. And you know, having Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham. But, man, the way he finished the season, the turnovers – that he, you know, that he had towards the end of the season, that really leaves me on edge. And so I'm going to trust the playmaking ability of Kyler Murray to put the ball in his hand and make something happen over Matthew Stafford.
Lewis Riddick, final word from you on this outstanding Monday night matchup you'll help bring us this week.
Yeah, look, I think obviously protecting the football for both of these quarterbacks will be key. Both of these guys will be going against pass rushes that can absolutely just terrorize you. We saw that happen in the Monday night game that we did down there. We saw Aaron Donald and Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, they got after Kyler's rear end, man, and he was not comfortable the entire game. And then on the other side, look, Chandler Jones, number 55, the career sack leader of the Arizona Cardinals, formerly of the New England Patriots. He has to terrorize Matthew Stafford. And because he was a non-factor in that Monday night game down there when Matthew just ripped them. Him and Van Jefferson just ripped them through the air. Cooper Kupp went crazy through the air. So as much as we talk about the quarterbacks, the pass rushes have to show up because there are some very good ones, some of the best we've ever seen in the NFL that are going to be lining up in this game between Vaughn, AD, and Chandler Jones, and maybe even J.J. Watt. So let's just see what happens.
Rams, of course, won the NFC West, so they'll be the home team for this one. But Arizona was 8-1 on the road this year. Arizona was also 5-2 against playoff teams, and the Rams were just 2-5. Fascinating matchup. Tip off your weekend with our next star-studded NBA Friday doubleheader. Klay is back for Golden State. He and Steph lead the Warriors against the Bulls at 7:30 Eastern. Then it's Luka and the Mavs in Memphis to take on Ja Morant and the Red Hot Grizzlies. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up on Get Up, we know that Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but what does this postseason mean for his legacy? We will discuss. Packers do not play this week. They are the top seed in the NFC playoffs and as a result have a first-round bye. However, the rules of morning sports talk require us to talk about Aaron Rodgers anyway. He has claimed to be nursing a toe injury for much of the season, and yesterday he was asked if he'd been receiving pain-killing shots for it lately.
I haven't taken one in a number of weeks now, Rob. So that's been the most encouraging thing. So got through last week without doing one. The whole goal was to be able to not have to do that. You know, it's been a few games now without doing that. So I'm feeling good. Practice today, close to 100%. I think I should be 100% probably by next week.
Great. So, I mean, rather than deal with what he will and won't take shots for, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers from a legacy perspective. He's a Super Bowl champion, but he's lost his last four NFC championship games. So what, yeah. Diana, is on the line for him this postseason?
Yeah, you hear that because you forget about that record. Four losses in the NFC championship game, and you think, okay, this guy has all the talent in the world. And I do think his footprint is set in the NFL. He will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. I don't think that we can argue that. I do think the argument we can make is the next level of greatness, right? He already has one Super Bowl. Can he get two? I think that's going to be the difference maker. And the hesitation we're having here is we're having a little bit of shaking here on the desk.
I was on the fault line.
That was the Packers fans that were rocking the desk saying,
is that what it was?
His legacy set. He's amazing. He is talented, and he is. And he's certainly the MVP this regular season, no questions asked. But I think his legacy is already that he's incredible. I do think that Super Bowl could give him one more notch up to be pretty much untouchable.
I think he needs three, right? Because it is levels to the Hall of Fame, right? You got the greatest of the greatest, right? We all know that Tom Brady's on the top by itself. Then you get to that second tier. You talk about the Joe Montanas, right? You talk about the Peyton Mannings, right? And, I think, Troy Aikman will never get the credit for having three Super Bowl titles because of his record wasn't that great. We think it was about that great line and Emmitt Smith. But, I think he's trying to elevate himself, right? Right now, for me, my Mount Rushmore is John Elway, it's Dan Marino, it's Peyton Manning, and maybe, people might want to throw Johnny Unitas up there, but then it's Tom Brady above that. He's trying to get into that level, right? It's like I said, it's levels to the Hall of Fame.
None of those guys won three.
It don't matter, but,
Marino didn't win any.
But what Marino was doing was far – Marino game back then in 85 looks like how the quarterbacks look now.
Yeah,
so the fact that he was able to put those type of numbers up, he's the only guy that gets a pass.
He's the only guy that gets a pass. Doesn't have to win, be a Super Bowl champion to get on him.
No, he's one of the greatest throwers of the football we've ever seen.
Fascinating criteria employed by Bart Scott. D. Wood, if not this year for Aaron Rodgers, I mean, like, what is this his last chance?
Listen, I don't know if it's his last chance, but I'm like, this is probably his best opportunity. You secure a home field advantage, and you look at the other teams in the NFC. Tom Brady, obviously Chris Godwin, out for the year. Antonio Brown not on the roster anymore, so it takes a little bit of a hit there. As great as Tom Brady is, it takes a little bit of a hit. And then the other teams in the NFC, they all have warts as well. So. I just look at Aaron Rodgers. He's maybe the greatest throw of the football I've ever seen, greatest talent at the quarterback position. But I agree with Bart. There is levels to greatness in this particular situation. So if he can't finish the deal this year, when? When is it going to happen?
Lewis, what would another Super Bowl title this year mean for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, then he starts to be really talked about with the football immortals, so to speak, the guys who were great individual talents to some degree, obviously, but also had great team success. That's when you start getting put into Mount Rushmore category. Look, as much as I love Dan Marino, being the fact that he is a Pitt grad and a Pitt alum, which is the best school in the country, we know this. Danny is not in the conversation with the rest of the group simply because he didn't win a Super Bowl. He wasn't there. Look, I mean, no one would argue that Danny was more talented individually than Joe Montana. Danny was more talented than Tom Brady. More talented, but he didn't win seven Super Bowls. So that's why he's not really talked about as an immortal like the rest of these guys are, who were great talents but also winners. Aaron needs to win because you know, individually, he's already probably maybe one of the greatest throwers ever. Maybe one of the top two, top three. But to win would then put him truly amongst the greatest of the great, which when Bart says levels, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, the rarest of air.
I don't know, man. I think Brady ruined it for everybody. I think Marino's sitting home going, hey, I would take Aaron Rodgers one Super Bowl title. That'd be fine with me.
Set that bar high.
Would be awesome. But,
like Highlander, but yeah, it could only be one.
It's exactly like Highlander. Speaking of which, I have no idea how to transition off of that. Let's make some picks for a couple of these games. First of all, Diana, we're going to make a pick on Bills-Patriots, but what can you tell us about that game that you're covering?
Yeah, so I talked to Josh Allen, obviously ready for the cold here. Everybody is. He's going to do his best. You know, just making sure his feet stay warm. That's going to be his biggest issue, he says, is making sure that circulation is going so he can obviously be very mobile because they're going to need it.
All right, Lewis, who are you picking in this game?
Yeah, this is a tough one, but I think Buffalo wins this one at home because Josh does what is necessary from a running perspective to go ahead and give them an edge, although I think this will come down to the fourth quarter for sure, and this will be a phone booth type of game just like I like it. But I think he is the difference this time, unlike what he was in their very first matchup in adverse weather conditions.
Well, I'm going to go with Buffalo as well. I think Mac Jones, the moment is too big. I think, you know, the ability people don't talk about is that the football is harder to throw. He doesn't have the elite arm strength, I think, to make the down the field throws, which allows the defense to pack it in because there's no fear of throwing bombs over his head.
Former Patriot Damian Woody, surely you're taking Bill Belichick in this one, aren't you?
I'm real nervous about this whole scenario now because I got the Buffalo Bills. Ooh. I just think Josh Allen and his playmaking ability at the quarterback position will be the slight edge to give the Buffalo Bills to win. Now I know Buffalo's not gonna win.
Because we swept it, right? Because all those Buffalo logos are
We're
up there.
We're all on Buffalo, so
somebody
they're
will
not going to win.
You next week. Hey, what'd
Screen
you guys
grab
do?
That. Can't wait.
49ers, Cowboys, the other big one we've been talking about all day. What do you got on
all
that?
All right, Jimmy G still has that sore right thumb. He's expected to play. Trent Williams has got a sore elbow. He's going to wear a brace. He should be good to go, though, in this one against Dallas.
D. Wood, who wins it?
I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers. I think the physicality that they're going to bring to Jerry's world, I don't know if the Cowboys will be able to match that physicality they're going to bring on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Bart?
In the playoffs, you got to pack your defense and your run game, and San Francisco has both. I think Debo Samuel is going to be the difference because when he brings those corners into the box, they are not ready for that smoke.
Big week on Get Up next week if the 49ers do win this game. Lewis, who are you taking?
Cowboys answer the bell. Cowboys win.
Cowboys win. There you have it. We do not have universal agreement on that one. We did on the Bills. We'll see what happens. First Take is coming up next. We'll talk about who will have a bigger impact on Sunday, Micah Parsons or Debo Samuel. And what is more likely, a Buccaneers Super Bowl repeat or an early exit from the playoffs? That's after us. First Take coming up next.
Yeah.
Our next NHL on ESPN matchup has the Flyers in Boston tonight taking on the Bruins. And our featured ESPN Plus matchup tonight is a battle between the Blue Jackets and the Canes. Our coverage of both starts at 7 Eastern. They're also available on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Bill Belichick wore a Danger Zone sweatshirt to his press conference. Big Top Gun fan. Of course, had everyone on social media making Top Gun jokes, including Julian Edelman. He said, "Talk to me, Goose." So, yeah, Danger Zone was apparently a Top Gun-inspired nickname that long snapper Joe Cardona gave to the Patriots special teams unit a couple years ago. You guys big Top Gun fans?
Does it make Bill Iceman?
It could. It could. Who's Bill in that movie?
He's going to be Iceman on Saturday night because it's going to be absolutely freezing, and I'm sure he's going to want much better sleeves than what he's wearing right there.
Diana, bad news. It's going to be a lot colder than freezing. Thanks for joining us here on Get Up. First Take is coming up next. We're back tomorrow.